It's as old as the Garden of Eden. Satan whispering lies into our ears, lies about the nature and character of God. We're all born with a propensity to believe those lies, lies that tell us that disobeying God is the path to true freedom. Before you bite into that apple, listen for a way to guard against falling for the devil's falsehoods. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on the invisible war, taken from the book of Ephesians. Turn to chapter 6 as we learn more about the belt of truth. We need this belt because, first of all, Satan wants to tell us lies about God.
So what does he want us to think about God? Well, rather than thinking of God as being truth, the first lie that Satan always wants us to believe about God is that God isn't good. That God isn't good. You found that, for example, in the Garden of Eden. Satan comes to Eve and basically says to her, "You mean that God said that you cannot eat of every tree of the garden? A God who restricts you can't be a good God. God is not at all interested in you. He's not interested in benefiting you. All that God cares about is himself. But if you eat of the fruit of the tree that he's asked you not to eat of, you will be like him." So what Satan does is he comes along and tells us, if you follow God, it is not the best way because God is not good. He wants us to think wrongly about God. He'll also come to us and say, God isn't faithful. And you can't depend on his promises. For example, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every individual unrighteousness. Now, some of you are still struggling with guilt over issues that God has forgiven. And one of the things that Satan does is he comes and he says, God isn't faithful. He has promised to forgive you if you have confessed it, and you have confessed it, but he cannot be relied upon to keep his word. And so Satan wants us to disbelieve God and his truth. And so whenever we sin deliberately, as Luther has pointed out, whenever we sin deliberately, we have already thought wrongly about God. We've thought to ourselves that sin is actually a better way than God's way. As a matter of fact, that's what Satan spends most of his time on, is to try to get us to see that sin is something good and that our own way is better than God's way. So first of all, truth is established by God, and what Satan wants to do is to distort our view of God so that we don't trust him, we don't believe him, and we don't believe that he's faithful or good. There's a second statement that can be made about truth, and that is that it is recorded in the Bible. In fact, I've already assumed that, haven't I? It is recorded in the Bible. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. In the Old Testament, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The testimony of the Lord is true. Here's the word, true and righteous altogether. Thy word is truth. So what does Satan want us to do? What he'd like people to think about the Bible is that it is an ordinary human book. That it is a collection of man's wisdom. That it is a book that has benefits, but it is not the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, it is an incomplete Word of God. We need other books to supplement it. That's why you find in other religions you always have other books. Because the assumption is that the Bible isn't sufficient, we need another book. So you have the book on science and health and a key to the scriptures. That's another book added to the Bible. You have the Quran. It's a book added to the Bible. Because what Satan wants people to think is that the Bible itself is not reliable in and of itself. You need something additional beyond it so that you can really get to God. And so he wants to distort our idea of God's truth. By the way, how did Jesus regard the Bible? Imagine, heaven and earth shall pass away, and yet my word shall not pass away. Wow. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Those are the kinds of convictions Jesus had, and we can't believe less than our Savior believed, can we? And so we find that Jesus countered Satan with a word. It's a great story that you already know, but the tempter came to him and says, you know, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So there you have Jesus Christ affirming the scriptures. Satan comes along and says, look, if he can get you to disbelieve the Bible, that's the first thing he wants to do. If he can then, if you believe the Bible and there's nothing that can be done because you have come to the conviction that the Bible is God's word, the next ploy is for you to ignore God's word and to keep it on the shelf and you never read it and you have no reading program whereby you're reading anything. And occasionally you take it from the shelf and hope that it'll fall open at a place that might be helpful. But there's no systematic attempt to say, what is God saying? And so Satan wants us to do that because he knows that it is through God's word that we have victory over sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So first of all, truth is established by God. Secondly, it is recorded in the Bible. Third, it is revealed in Jesus. It is revealed in Jesus. Imagine now, all of us like to think that we've taught the truth. Particularly if you teach mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4, that seems to be a universal that everyone will accept. We all like to say that that is truth. But imagine a teacher of mathematics saying, it is not just that I teach the truth, but I am the truth. We'd say, now you've taken this too far. You may teach it, but nobody, especially your wife, is going to believe that you are the truth. Yet Jesus said that. Jesus said that he was the embodiment of truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Satan wants us to think that Jesus is not the truth and that there are other people who are the same as Jesus. I think this is the greatest distortion that Satan wants us to have, is our understanding of Jesus. So you have today all these other Jesuses. You remember the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, said, be sure that you do not believe in another Jesus. So you have the Mormon Jesus. You have also the Santa Claus Jesus, who gives you benefits of health and wealth without any repentance, without any faith in his name. You have also the cosmic Jesus that supposedly indwells everyone. You have many different Jesuses. And whatever Jesus Paul was speaking about when he spoke about that other Jesus, he thought that that false Jesus was so close to the true one that he feared that the people of Corinth wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And that's why he said in context, he says, I am afraid that even as the serpent deceived Eve by his subtlety, so you shall be deceived by him also. Why? And then Paul goes on to say, because you're believing in another Jesus. You see, the Jesus in which we must believe is the Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the divine Jesus. Jesus the God-man, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the one whom we worship, that is the Jesus in whom we have put our confidence. All others are other Jesuses. I've been thinking about this. What do you think Satan likes the most? Does he like to lead people into alcoholism and drugs? Certainly, because he is the destroyer, the Bible says. The thief comes to destroy, and he loves to see destruction. When you see a natural disaster on the news, when you look at the tsunami, when you think of the earthquake, and we have all those images in our mind, those natural disasters remind us of what sin does. Sin destroys. But actually, people who are alcoholics or drug addicts, they are not a very good advertisement for the devil. As a matter of fact, they may cause other people to look at them and say, I'm going to go in a different direction than that. You know what I think? I think Satan prefers something else. I think he'd like to have an educated man, well-dressed, articulate, stand in a pulpit and tell people that God is only love and therefore you do not have to worry about your sin, and to tell people that the Bible is a collection of human wisdom that's good to read, but it's not the Word of God, and then to tell them that Jesus is a good man who is a picture of us all, as Eckhart Tolle does in his book, The New Earth, when he says that Jesus is the archetype, the picture of us all. And then on page 71, Tolle says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what can be said about Jesus can be said about all of us. You also are the way, the truth, and the life. And then you have a book like that sold in millions upon millions of copies, even Christians reading it, and Satan is delighted because he has stolen, or attempted to, stolen the glory from Jesus and has substituted another Jesus. Yes, my friend, I think that's the way it is. This is Pastor Lutzer. It's not Satan down on Skid Row, it's Satan behind the pulpits in America, telling Americans that Jesus Christ is simply a bigger one of us. Telling Americans that it is through our good works that we are saved and all the other lies that he would want us to believe. I'm glad that God is a God of truth and he has told us the truth in his word. Some of the truths that he has told us are very hard to receive, but let's be humble enough to receive those truths. Truths about him, truths about ourselves. Well, in a moment, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages for yourself. It's really necessary that you listen to them, share them with your friends, pass them along, because we are in an invisible war. And I pray that God will grant us the grace to win.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more on The Belt of Truth, the second of seven messages in a series on the invisible war. Tomorrow, more on lies about God as found in contemporary culture. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on the invisible war can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible war. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.